I'm going to speak for a few minutes about the irrigation effects on bowl distribution in both the Southeast and the Texas High Plains. And I have a lot of collaborators that I've included on this, partly because this is the combination of a few different studies that we've done, and it's involved a lot of people, both from the time that I was at the University of Georgia and my time at Texas Tech. I thought, just in case I got pushed on time, I'd show the acknowledgments at the beginning. As I mentioned, I have a lot of people that I've worked with at Texas Tech and at Texas A&M AgriLife, as well as a lot of people at the University of Georgia, and a lot of people in the room whom I've worked with who've either sponsored our research or who've worked with us on a lot of this research as well. I conducted research at the University of Georgia on cotton water relations for about 8 years, in fact, almost exactly 8 years. And I'm currently a cotton physiologist at Texas Tech University and Texas A&M AgriLife Research, and continuing the work on that. The picture on the left here is not Photoshopped from a standpoint of showing me actually out there in the cotton field mapping the plants. It is Photoshopped from a standpoint of removing the label off of the hat so that I don't have conflict of interest here. Real brief introduction. If we have too much water in cotton, I don't think it's any big surprise that we have excessive vegetative growth and we have problems with our fruiting and with our earliness, like Owen talked about. The picture here that you can see is Craig Bednarz, who's about 6 feet tall, standing in some Delta Pine 555, which had, shall we say, ample water. If we have adequate water, it's actively growing, and hopefully we can control the growth chemically without the use of too much outside influence on that. So we can control it without completely shutting it down. And then if we have inadequate water, then we're starting to run into issues on the other end of it. A couple of truisms that I had developed, or that I thought that I had developed over my first several years of research, were that, first of all, if we increase our irrigation, generally what we saw happen was we would lose a little bit of the bottom crop of that cotton crop, and then we would increase the middle and the top portion of that crop. And so we would make up for that little yield loss at the bottom by increasing the yield throughout the rest of the plant. Another truism that I thought that I had developed was that the amount of evapotranspiration demand that we have within the crop is going to be pretty closely related to how stressed the crop gets in response to water deficit. The idea being here that, you know, if the crop's using a lot of water, it must mean that it needs a lot of water. It was our general thought that either peak bloom or potentially quite a bit earlier in the season would be the time periods that we'd be particularly sensitive to water stress here. So I'd like to present how some of those things have changed a little bit over the last few years. And I don't think I've completely come to complete answers here, but on the first one, irrigation and harvestable bowls. We did this work at Georgia for about 3 years. We did it primarily under 2 to 3 irrigation levels, and it was dry land, but you have to understand that most of the years I was in Georgia, dry land was still going to yield us about a bale and a half on up to potentially 3 bales. So it was a balancing act here, but we were looking at more of a determinant production management system versus an indeterminate production management system. We did plant mapping on 1 to 10 meters of plant row. That's not a typo. We actually, for a lot of our studies, did 10 meters of row in several different locations to come up with this, and we did it in multiple reps. Texas, we did it similarly, but we were able to look at more irrigation levels. Now my two obligatory slides, I came up with these a couple of years ago to demonstrate plant mapping and box picking, and I liked them so much that it's now a requirement in my contract that I get to use them each time. Box picking. you take a plant and you can actually sort out based on the location on the plant. You can actually map out where these bowls fall. And so you place it in a box and you can actually look and see what the bowl distribution is on that crop. Then by doing that, we can actually take the bowl distribution and we can start to develop a bowl mass or bowl number, bowl retention, you name it, and compare it between cultivars, between irrigation rates, fertility rates, PGR rates, etc. So this was the typical pattern that we tended to see in Georgia. This was Deltapine 555, which is used to be a very vigorous growing cultivar. And you'll see that the non-irrigated tended to have increased bowl retention at the beginning of the plant, and then it dropped off dramatically, and the plant made up for it a lot on the back end. Even with some of the more determinant cultivars that we looked at in Georgia, it's less obvious here, but again, you see a little bit of an increase in bowl retention early on, followed by a dramatic decrease for the non-irrigated and a dramatic bowl load up through the rest of the plant. It's kind of interesting to look at this and see that some of this bowl retention went above node 20. I don't think I've even seen a cotton plant that goes up to node 20 in the last couple of years in Texas. Some of that, I think, is due to the pivot irrigation because you're putting down usually large amounts of water on a weekly basis or a twice weekly basis. Apparently I lost a slide here. And when we got to Texas, we decided to try this out on some of our drip irrigation system here. And for some of the cultivars, it followed a similar pattern. All I've done here is the dotted line would be our dry land. And then as we increase the irrigation, this black line is moderate deficit, red line's mild deficit, and then the blue line is fully irrigated. You'll see we had a drop in the bowl retention at the beginning, and then we made up for a lot of it in the middle toward the top of the plant. And that, I would say, was probably right in line with what I considered happened. And then we got looking at a lot of the other cultivars, and what we found was that it really tended to be very cultivar dependent. This is Fibromax 9160. It's not the only one that did this. And the other thing was there's the other slide that I lost. It didn't really tend to follow an early season, late season type of situation here. Many of the cultivars do have consistent retention patterns over at least a moderate range of environments, though. So, for instance, the 9160 we saw consistently tended to produce more bowls from bottom to the top of the plant. 0935 tended to not have as much bowl retention at the beginning, tended to have more at the end. So there seems to be a genetic effect that's going on there, but at some point environmental effect can overrule that as well. The second part of this, and in interest of time, I'm going to jump past this just to the take-home on it. We suspected that either first square or peak bloom irrigation deficit was going to hit us the worst on this work. And Texas was the first place I had ever been where we could test this because we got too much rain in Georgia to try it out. But what we found out was that consistently over 2011 and 2012, the times that we got hit worst with water deficit over about a three-week period of time were over the early flowering period. And so apparently if you have a very limited window in which you need to water or which you can water, you better make sure that you're putting it on as you're getting into early bloom, at least within the environments that we were in. We have a lot of changing environments we have to deal with. And changing cultivars, so we need to be similarly adaptive based on the work that we do, and there's not always going to be one-size-fits-all solutions that happen here. According to this, I have about 8 seconds to get a question. I bumped my time down to about 10 minutes. Does anyone have one question before we move on?